Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Brandon, who lives down in Vero Beach, Florida, says, Bill, and I believe this is in reference to Kyle Hamilton at Notre Dame, the sophomore safety, says, Bill, speaking of safeties with great measurables, do you remember Taylor Mays at Southern Cal? Oh, I do. I'll give you Taylor Mays. He played at Southern Cal in, what would that have been, about 15 years ago, if I'm remembering correctly. Big name, top-rated player maybe in America, top-rated player out of the state of Washington. And his dad played at Washington, played in the NFL too. But he kind of wanted to go do his own thing, so he joined Southern Cal. He signed with them right on the edge of Southern Cal winning the Natty and almost winning another one, 04-05. And he was 6'3", about 230. Safety, okay? Was also a state sprint champion. So he had all the stuff. He had elite speed, ridiculous size to be a safety, and the physicality and all the things you need. And he signed with Southern Cal, made All-American a couple times. Wasn't a big-name pro. Actually, you Buckeye fans up in Cincinnati, played for the Bengals a little bit. Emru, 614 Rob, you probably remember him there more than I would. But I don't remember him. Maybe you can point out something other than what I'm saying. I don't think he had a very remarkable pro career. He wasn't a first-round pick. Ended up, I believe, a second-round pick. Nonetheless, played about, hung around about 6 years or so in the NFL. But, yes, measurables-wise, crazy, freaky, man. The big safeties that you know, historically, a Steve Atwater played at Arkansas. You know, huge safety. A Ronnie Lott, Dennis Smith, those guys. I mean, just big, bad dudes, man. Kyle Hamilton's different from all of them in that he's 6'4". He's lean, and he's about 215, 220. And he hasn't even come close to scratching the surface of his ability. Last year when you'd see him play, you could tell he needed physicality. He was long. He was lean. He wasn't real physical. If you're going to be that size, you not only need to be a center fielder on defense, which is that safety position job, but you have to be physical also if it comes down to making a play in the running game, a tackle. He's starting to do that now. And again, he's got incredible length. He can make plays covering people just because of length that just most don't have the ability to do. He's still rolling now. I mean, you may see him play Saturday and get burned or something. I mean, that happens. But he has got that kind of unusual. You Tennessee fans are from Georgia. Remember Tennessee signed in the class of, what would that be, 97-ish? All those All-Americans that year, but Deion Grant out of Georgia, a 6'2", 6'3", safety, who was a center fielder who was really good at it, really good. Big-name recruit, everybody wanted. Hamilton is better than that. Longer, better. Way better career, and Deion Grant was phenomenal. Hamilton is a couple of notches above that. Okay, I'm getting him, Roos, also Chris up in New York, who's a big South Carolina fan. I was able to read the Jack Nicklaus tweet, and he did endorse the Orange Man. That's why Everybody, Darren Revelle, oh, the Corona Bros did not. That's not what we're about, the Corona Bros. So Darren Revelle tweets, biggest mistake of his life. Jack Nicklaus, who was 80, has basically ruined his life doing this. So, yeah, I see it now. I didn't get to read it earlier, but I do see it now. Yeah, he's not allowed to do that. Now, if he would have gone the other way with his endorsement, Revelle wouldn't have said a word. That's the way this works. John out in Los Angeles. Bill, I met Brian Kelly's sister at the Notre Dame-Southern Cal game his very first season there, 2010. And she told me that Brian told her that the locker room was fractured when he took over. Those were his exact words from the Charlie Weiss era. I'm not surprised. Nathan checking in this morning. Nathan up in Michigan. Got to be happy, man. Saturday night was a good night for Michigan. Real good night. Says, Bill, Taylor Mays was unreal. I know it's not a pro football show, but I wanted the Lions to take him number one overall instead of Matthew Stafford. Mays was a terror on the field and a freak of nature. You folks that follow that more than me, though, his pro career wasn't much to talk about. Am I right or wrong, or did he make the Pro Bowl a couple of times and I'm just unaware? If that's the case, then please do. Bean, count me. Correct me. I know he played about 5 or 6 years. I believe he ended up actually in the Canadian League for maybe a little spell also. That's what I do. That's what I remember there. Karen checking in again. Bill. U.S. GDP grew 33.1% in the third quarter versus the 32% estimate. Go America, she says. Karen, don't you know? You're not supposed to do that. Yeah, you can't say go America. That's bad. They may. You do that again, the Big Ten might just cancel the whole year again. They may just crater the whole thing. John, also checking in. He's down in the Rocket City. Bill, I'm going back in time, but the best safety, in my opinion, was Kenny Easley. Yeah, Kenny Easley was from Virginia, and he was about a 220-pound safety. Went to UCLA and had a career there and then an NFL career, too. Big safety. UCLA used to now, come into the South and get big-name players like Southern Cal did and does some. Hadn't really done a lot in the, but when Southern Cal's right, they go into Atlanta, back Nashville, Florida, wherever, to get players. I mean, they've got tons on the West Coast in Cali, but they'll go anywhere. When they're right, they can go any Houston, they go any city they want and have a chance to get the best player. They're not there yet. UCLA, many years ago, kind of did that too. Easley was from the Eastern Seaboard, like I just told you. They came in 1 year, and what class? This was the class of, boy, like 79, 80, 81, somewhere in there. And I've talked to Buck about this. Buck got to UCLA right after this player. They came in and got the number one player in Tennessee. His name was Tommy Taylor. Years ago, I told you the story. Tommy Freight Train Taylor was his name. That's what they called him. He was out of Chattanooga. Not Nashville, not Memphis, not Knoxville. Chattanooga. And he signed with UCLA. He was a big running back, linebacker, played linebacker, and became a captain at UCLA. There in the same stretch, they came into Peabody. Now, don't, no, not Vanderbilt jokes, everybody. Peabody, Tennessee, which is West Tennessee, and got a player, a defensive lineman, top D lineman in the state called Kim Lawhorn. And this was in the more mid-80s. He didn't bust a grape. Yeah, he didn't do anything. But everybody wanted him. Yeah, everybody had to have him. He's just one of those that didn't materialize. Tommy Taylor went out there and had a heck of a career. He died over the last five or so years, maybe further out. And I don't remember the reason, but yeah, God rest his soul. But I go back to that recruitment, keeping up with it. But yeah, Kenny Easley. Now, Kenny Easley has had some health problems, mainly kidney problems. And I know he struggled later in life, and I'm not sure what the status is there, but he's had some problems. I should ask, Buck would know. Somebody remind me next Tuesday to ask Buck. Because I love going back and discussing players in other eras. I really do. It's so much fun. Gary Joe Collins up in Tim Couch territory. Yeah, I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday about it's a report. Actually, I'll give you the story. A reporter that works for Ole Miss Evie, the Rebel Walk, called and wanted to ask me some questions for an article. Ole Miss is coming to town to play Vanderbilt. And he was talking about how he used to be on the staff at Troy and the sports information department. He used to be at a certain newspaper. Now he lives in Pensacola. But Ferris Newspapers, and I did not know him, and I don't think he knew me really either. But nonetheless, he'd called to get some quotes, which obviously I'm happy to do. But he was telling me, he says, here's my best Mike Leach story. Now, again, this will apply to something, Gary Joe Collins, you just made me think of this. He said he was covering a Valdosta State college football game against some opponent. Mummy and company, Hal Mummy and Mike Leach were there coaching. This is right before they got hired at Kentucky. And this was late in the year, might have been a playoff game. And the rumors were already out that CM Newton, Kentucky, was trying and was going to hire Hal Mummy, but nobody could verify it. It was just in the rumor stages, but it sounded legit. So he said he was down there, and it was pregame, and he was told by, I guess, the sports information department, do not go to Mummy and ask him about the Kentucky job. He's not talking about it. Don't do it. That is off limits. Don't do it. Leach was standing nearby, heard that exchange, came up to him and said, we're going to Kentucky. Go with it. Yeah, this guy, I was just talking to him yesterday, was telling me this story. I said they also had Tim Couch waiting on him, which was a good thing. Yeah, Leach overheard this, right? Don't you ask a thing about these Kentucky rumors. Don't do it. Only this game. Don't do it. Leach walks right up seconds later and says, we're going to Kentucky. Just go with it. And I could absolutely, totally see him doing that. Leach don't give a bleep about all that crap. All right, Gary Joe Collins, long-winded. Says, Bill, as much as I want to believe the Cats pull it out this weekend, I think bowl cut is too much right now. After hanging 559 on Baby Kiff, the Cats have managed 596 yards in the last three games. Sources tell me that's not good. Yeah, they don't know what they're doing at quarterback. Unless Gary Joe Collins, have they announced which way they're going? I haven't heard. Yeah, I haven't heard. All right, let's do this. I just looked up. Little late. Not alarmingly late. Little late, though. We're coming right back. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. Still quite a bit of traffic here trying to filter down through here on 65 southbound at Trinity Lane. No surprise, really. Traffic still looking good coming up through Brentwood, Franklin on 65 northbound through this part of Williamson County. Saunders Avenue at Broadmoor. There's been a crash there in East Nashville block in that intersection. To cater your next holiday party coming up, call Princess Hot Chicken or simply go online at princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Hey, Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
The George Plaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It's sports talk the way it should be.
The George Plaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Plaster Show.
This isn't going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast for this morning. Showers likely, high 69. Showers likely tonight, low 44. Decreasing clouds tomorrow, high 56. Mostly clear tomorrow night, low 40. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
He doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Rusty, we had him scheduled today. Some bad weather. Couldn't get hold of him. Crazy Charlie tried. We will do it tomorrow morning. Same slot. 7:30 Eastern Central Time, which is the time we're on here. 6:30. So he'll be with us. And always good. Yeah, always good. So people are hitting me up about Quinn Ewers, top-rated quarterback in the nation. He's at South Lake Carroll in Texas, a very famous school. Names of quarterbacks from that school would be Chase Daniel. That'd be one. Greg McElroy. That's where he went as well. I'm probably leaving somebody out, but those are a few that I can think of, but a very famous school. He decommits from Texas on Wednesday, and the Texas fans and the message boards and the social media just melting down again like Chernobyl circa 1980s. What would that have been, 85? Just total meltdown. Not only do you have the, what are we going to do when it's the end of the game and it's time to sing Eyes of Texas, that's nit. But the quarterback who was kind of propping up your happiness, whatever level of happiness you had at Texas, is now decommitted. The Buckeyes are considered the good news recipient here. Couple of other schools, Alabama, Auburn being mentioned. I don't think that's where he's going. I think the Buckeyes at the moment would be the team to beat. That's what it looks like. Buckeye Brenda. Bill, I'm not a Brian Kelly fan. Holtz was better at Notre Dame. Fickle is better at Cincinnati. Yeah, some people don't like Brian. I understand. Yeah, I get that a lot. Maybe every experience I've had with him has always been excellent. Now, maybe I'm just fortunate. We were doing our show from the College Football Coaches Convention. That year, it was Indianapolis. And this would have been like 2013-ish. Give or take a year. Doing the show, Brian Kelly comes over, hangs out with us. And I wasn't even trying to break a story. I just said, Brian, are you going to be calling the plays this year offensively? And he said, I might as well put it out there. Yes, I'm taking over the offense. I'm calling the plays. And I'm just thinking matter-of-factly, well, this is all over the news. Every Notre Dame outlet, ESPN, all the major news outlets, whether it's sites or whether it's networks. Kelly announces calling plays. So he even throws me scoop, man. I wasn't even trying. So yeah, I'm biased there. I know I'm biased. Buckeye Brenda goes on to say, Bill, so sports figures are encouraged to advocate their candidate only if it toes a certain party line. She says, all righty then, I keep my sports and politics separate. Yeah, talking about the Jack Nicklaus thing. I didn't know about the Jack Nicklaus thing until M. Roos and some of the others hit me up. I hadn't seen it. I'm glad they did. I'd not seen the story. I'd missed it. Jimbo fan. Is there a better name than that? Just flat out Jimbo fan. Who is a big Aggie. Says, Bill, this young man is clearly very intelligent. He's talking about Quinn Ewers. He says, unlike Kevin Warren and wants to make a good decision and play for Coach Jimbo Fisher, can you blame him? How many first-round quarterbacks does crying Tom Herman have? I think Ewers wants to be a Buckeye, is what I hear. It's not over. No, it's not over. I mean, could he flip and say, hey, let's go Aggies? Aggies are pretty well set with the young quarterbacks, though, are they not? I mean, it doesn't mean this guy can't join the fray, but. Gary Joe Collins says, up at Kentucky, the speculation for quarterback is Gatewood because Terry Touchdown has been a no-go in practice this week. Stoopsy, he says, has been tight-lipped, though. Yeah, Stoopsy's not giving it up this week. I don't blame him. I mean, but look, you already know what you're getting in either Terry Wilson or Joey Gatewood. It's not like there's some kind of, wow, wonder what kind of nuclear weapon they're hiding today. Josh says, so did Leach get him to talk about Kentucky? Well, the reporter guy that I was talking to yesterday, who now works for Ole Miss Evie for the Rebel Walk, said that game, he was told pregame, do not ask mommy about the Kentucky rumors. That is off limits. Don't do it. Leach is just overhearing this. The SID guy walks away, and he tells the guy I'm talking to on the phone, hey, we are going to Kentucky. Go with it. So I guess he went with the story. I don't know. I don't know what happened after that, but he went with the story. Leach don't play. You if you're in the SID department, and I know they have important jobs, I'm not trying to downgrade their status. But Leach is not listening to that. You're not telling Leach or somebody that Leach wants to talk to what the scoop can or can't be. Leach don't play that. Like I've told you about Leach, there are two extremes with Mike. He worked on our channel for a couple of years at Sirius. I know Mike. The one extreme is his quarterback is chucking the ball all over the field. They're putting up a million yards a game, scoring a million points a game, probably giving up a million two on defense, but winning most of these games. And everybody's happy. The flip side is the offense isn't working. Quarterback play, he's having to juggle, can't find the right guy. Players are getting disgruntled. Media's asking a bunch of questions, and he's getting really irritated. And now players are leaving. And that's what's happening at Mississippi State. Mike don't give in to anybody, okay? At Mississippi State, say what you want, but you're not going to write columns or critique him on radio or have players throwing a tantrum and get him to change something. Mike don't do that. Right or wrong, it is 100% always his way. And if things get tough, he's not afraid if everybody on that team wants to quit. I'm telling you right now, he don't play the got to give in to the players thing. Most coaches do. Mike Leach don't do it. Isn't going to do it. This may not end up good. It might not, but he won't give in. He's still not over the Texas Tech thing, man. It's like I've told you, if you had the ability, like I have, to sit down with him over a beer and just listen to him tell you about the Texas Tech and the way it ended situation, your mouth would be agape. You'd be a mouth breather. You're just pouring beer in your mouth, but you're breathing out of your mouth. It is funny. It's compelling. He's really mad about it. He ain't getting over it. He's never going to get over it. So, again, you get two extremes with him. The LSU game and the passing and the records broken and the fun that was. And a lot of the Washington State experience, right? Or the down times when things aren't working. People are mad. People are disgruntled. There's two extremes. There's no halfway in there. You can't be half pregnant with Mike. I like Mike. Yeah, I like him a lot. Okay, bottom of the hour break. I know we need to get it right here. Coming right back. Thursday edition. Rusty will be with us tomorrow. Missed him this morning. He'll be back, though, tomorrow morning. 6:30 Central, 7:30 Eastern. Brad Powers, hour number three, as usual, on a Friday handicapping. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Watching traffic pick up quite a bit, actually, in the last few minutes out here on Ellington Parkway, working your way down from the top to the bottom. Traffic's been in pretty good shape as far as really, really bad interstate wrecks. Now, there is a wreck with entry South Nashville, 600 block of Brewer Drive off Nolensville Pike. OHP entrance ramp there at I-24, and that's south of town on a two-car collision. Hey, check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text TIGER to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of new Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help get you back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text TIGER to 42424. That's TIGER to 42424.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working
working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Hey Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Saunier, executive producer of WNSR, and I'm here reminding you that Bongo Java at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the best place to start your day in the Music City. Their new limited summer hours and menu is simply the best in town. From burritos to smoothies, plus the new biscuit sandwiches and croissants, Bongo Java has you covered. Located at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown, they're open from 7 to 11 a.m., and make sure you tell them Crazy Charlie sent you.
Are you struggling to feed your family? If your family gets free or reduced price school meals, you may qualify to receive money for groceries through the PEBT program. Visit TennesseeMeals.com or call 866-311-4287. The deadline is soon. That's TennesseeMeals.com, 866-311-4287. Brought to you by this station, the Tennessee Justice Center, and the Tennessee Department of Human Services.
The number one college sports show on the planet, The Bill King Show.
All right, this is a little off the path, but not too far off the path. Not too far. You Buckeye fans, and fans in general, you may like this. Article in the Tennessean newspaper, Mike Organ. And here's how it reads. Music City, that would be Nashville, baseball is adding a football element to its effort to bring Major League Baseball to Nashville. Tennessee Titans great and former Buckeye, Eddie George, has joined the group as a board member and will serve as chair of the Real Estate Advisory Committee. That means George, who is a Nashville resident, he lives here, will help oversee the development of a multifaceted entertainment complex that would serve as the home of the future Nashville Stars baseball team, according to Music City Baseball Managing Director John Lohr. Now, again, there's a long way to go to get something like this done. The property, the investment, cooperation from Major League Baseball, the rights. But Eddie's part of this. Eddie is from Philadelphia. Grew up, it says here, as a Phillies fan. I did not know that. I knew where he's from, but didn't know he had some baseball interest. Other people on this board, listen to this group. And again, I don't know if they can get this done or not, but listen to this group on the board. Board of directors for the Music City Stars, or the Nashville Stars, or whatever they're going to call them. Three-time World Series champion Dave Stewart. These are board members or advisors. Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa. Longtime baseball exec Dave Dombrowski. Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. Bill Frist. Very well-known name. Frist's name is very well-known. Country music stars Kix Brooks, Eric Church, Kane Brown, and Larry Gatlin. So Eddie apparently is going to chair that committee. We'll see what happens. Big number 27. I see him about once or twice a year at some event. Very nice guy. He came by a couple of times when our studio was in Brentwood at an area called Maryland Farms. You wouldn't know that if you're not from here. And he came by a couple times, sat in the studio for an hour of time with me. And we just hung out and talked. It was good. Some of you may, Josh, you may remember. 614 Rob, some of you guys that are Buckeye fans. This is like 08, 09. I mean, this is on back. This is over 10 years ago. Josh up in London. Bill, Buckeyes will win by more than 24 this weekend at Penn State. Blowout. Just going to blow them out. I don't know if I go that betting. They're definitely the better team. 614 Rob has a picture here of Quinn Ewers. And again, it's spelled E-W-E-R-S. Pronounced Ewers, best I know. 614 Rob, Bill. The guy has some pretty good blonde hair. Long blonde hair. He could take over for Pretty Boy when he leaves Clemson. Yeah, I'm looking at him. He's kind of got a mullet. Isn't that a mullet? Isn't that like a blonde hair mullet? How many blonde mullets do you know of? Number one ranked quarterback in the class of 22, Texas kid, South Lake Carroll kid, well-known school, decommits, and it sounds like the Buckeyes might be the good news recipient here. He hadn't done anything yet, but that's what the rumors are. Jim up in Ramsey. Bill, do you see the Pac-12 fever hitting the Big 12 where five stars are opting for other leagues like the SEC or the Big Ten? Well, they're not playing football in California right now. High school ball. And if this continues, then I think more players will start fleeing. Cali. I would think so. I mean, you gotta go somewhere where they believe in you perfecting your craft. Cali is not your buddy in general terms. So, yes. Now, how many? I mean, I don't know how many have the ability to just pack it up and move because of your high school. By the way, that kid that was trying to get cleared at Valdosta High got cleared at Grayson, did he not? How does that work? They didn't want you. Is that an anti-Rush Probst thing, or what is that all about? Yeah, what? How does all that work? I just saw that story the other day. I didn't really pay much attention to it. Jim also points out Saturday's game, Rutgers game, has been moved to FS1. Rutgers is 1-0. They beat Sparty. Yeah, they took on Sparty, whooped Sparty. I don't think Sparty's very good right now. Mel Tucker, you talking about walking into a mess. Mel Tucker walked into a colossal mess. That's not going to get fixed anytime soon, I don't think. So, Georgia and Kentucky, Florida, Missouri. Florida hadn't played a ball game in a while. Tennessee's off. Vols probably need a little downtime. God almighty. To date, has Tennessee been what they probably should be in year three? The answer is no. The Sonium Pentothal Truth Serum is not getting good returns when it comes to the Vols. The truth is, it's not where it ought to be in year three. Doesn't mean that Jeremy Pruitt can't get them there, but it ain't where it needs to be. The absolute, what would you call the Kentucky game after the two pick sixes? I've got the word for you. Tennessee in the Kentucky game at home after the pick sixes. You know what the word, all you needed to do, if you ran a newspaper and you only had one word to use, you weren't going to write a column. All you had was one word. You could put it in big, bold font right on the top of the newspaper. Capitulation. That's the word you would use for the Vols. Capitulation. And that's what you left the Kentucky game with, Alabama coming into town in a week. Capitulation. That's where we're at right now. Now, I think the defense in general is trying to play as hard as they can. They've had their moments. They do have personnel inadequacies on that side of the ball too, but it's not been, not that they should beat Georgia. They're not as good as Georgia yet. Not that they should beat Alabama, but they should beat Kentucky. As good as Kentucky, as solid as they've been, Tennessee ought to be better than them. They're not. I mean, look at the scoreboard. Capitulation is the word. Jeff, too, has dialed us up. What's up, Jeff?
Good morning, Mr. Bill King. How are you doing, sir?
So you're in the banking business, and I know you get to work from home, but if you walked into your bank and some superior came up and just used the term capitulation, that would not be good, would it?
You threw word salad on me. That's the first time I've heard it. So I would think it would not be good. So it doesn't sound like a good word.
No, it's not. Anyways, what's up, man?
Not much. Just you actually threw up a in the article you mentioned about the possible baseball thing. Let me just tell you a quick dream I have. I know we're up against, and I'll be as quick as I can.
No, you're good. You're good.
I've been a Nashville resident now for almost 8 years. You know, me and my family, we're here. We love it. We're never leaving. We are seriously never, ever leaving. I lived in 20 years in Jackson, Mississippi, born and raised in Alabama. I've never been to a place in Williamson County that we love it here more than any place we've ever lived. And it is heaven on earth. And I hope everybody listening to this can find their time to come down to Nashville and Williamson County and everything else. It's just, it's heaven on earth. But this area more than I do. Here is my dream in this scenario, is that, we're talking about you're talking about the Adams family getting involved in everything else, which I don't know if they want to do this. But here's my dream. My dream is that the baseball team comes in, because I know we're going to get one. Buster only wrote an article for ESPN probably about 5 or 6 years ago. I can try to find it and link it to you. The two new markets that are going to get baseball teams next that are predicted are Las Vegas and Nashville. We're going to get it. We are. It may be 5 years from now, maybe 2 years from now, maybe 10 years from now. We're going to get a Major League Baseball team if we keep trending like we are. I wish that the Major League Baseball team would just come in and revitalize the Titans Stadium. Just take it over. That's where they're going to be. Okay, that you're going to be there. You're going to reconfigure the stadium, tear down part of the upper deck, whatever. That's where you're going to be. Revamp it, renovate it, maybe even break it down to put a top on it, a retractable roof. You could do that, whatever. It would cost less money than building a new facility. Then somehow find land downtown. I know it's not cheap, but the Adams family builds a retractable roof stadium for the Titans, where we Nashville can host a Super Bowl, a college playoff game, a national championship game, a Final Four. It's going to happen, Bill. It's got to happen, and it will happen, and I believe it can happen. But it's going to take the Adams family stepping up and building a facility and everything else, because you can't tax Nashville. Nashville can't foot the bill. We're broke as it is, because of poor management in the city. But, the last thing we'll say on this is this, with the Adams family building the stadium for the new Titans Stadium, whatever it does happen, people think they see these new facilities in Inglewood for the Rams, and they see the Jerry World, and they see what they did with the Giants and Jets and everything else. You don't have to spend $1.5 or $2 billion or $3 billion or $4 billion for a stadium. Lucas Oil Stadium is a very great facility. It's hosted things out the yin-yang, and that thing, I say only, it only costs $600 million. So you're telling me you can't find $600 million with investors to build a nice stadium, retractable roof, and we could have all this? I mean, what are your thoughts? Do you agree?
I thought you were going to say move it all to Wilco so you can get over there quick. I swear to God, I thought that's
well, what you need. You need the skyline there. You need the Nashville draw.
Right.
But, it's
– No, I hear you.
I just feel that this is – and I'm not I'm not throwing dirt at the Adams family. I'm sure they're putting a great product on the field. I'm not a Titans fan per se. I'm a New York Giants fan. But I want to see – now, I want to see the Titans do good. But I think a lot of this revolves around what the Adams are doing, because you can't have one facility for baseball and football. You just can't. I mean, you have to have two facilities. But I think if the new owners came in for the whatever they're going to call the baseball team eventually, they just took over the Titans Stadium, made an offer. Who owns that stadium? Do the Adams or does the city of Nashville own that?
City of Nashville. Crazy Charlie, who owns the stadium? City of Nashville, right? That's what I thought, but
okay. Well, what I'm saying is they could just make a plea and just build that, renovate it, do whatever. Because the only other option is to tear down Nissan Stadium. It's on its last leg here. Charlie's mentioned it before and everything else. Whenever you put new seats in the stadium, that's the last leg. I mean, that's the last thing you do before you either tear down or do whatever else. But, you know, I know I took the show in a different direction than probably you wanted to do, but that's my two cents. And, again, we have to have a retractable roof stadium for the football team, for the Titans, because we can host the Super Bowl. I know we can. And if we can host the Super Bowl, we can host the men's Final Four, we can host the college football national championship game, we can host maybe even the SEC championship game moves east-west to here. It could possibly happen. We'll see. I don't know. But I don't know. Bill, thank you so much
thank
for your
you,
show.
Sir.
Appreciate what you and Charlie do. You have a great day, sir.
Yes, sir. Jeff, too. Always good to hear from you. Got to get the break. One more here on this Thursday edition, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Watching traffic pick up quite a bit, actually, in the last few minutes out here on Ellington Parkway. You're working your way down from the top to the bottom. Traffic's been in pretty good shape as far as really, really bad interstate wrecks. Now, there is a wreck with entry South Nashville, 600 block of Brewer Drive off Nolensville Pike. OHP entrance ramp there at I-24, and that's south of town on a two-car collision. Hey, check out the all-new Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Prince's Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website virtualnashvilleflea market.com to get more details. And for more information, visit the website thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
Last election, millions of voters were unable to cast their ballots. Why? No game plan.
Time to make a play. Let's go.
NFL Votes is a league-wide initiative to support and encourage voter education, registration, and activation efforts of players, clubs, and fans from now until Election Day.
That's what we do.
It's our time.
Join the NFL family by making your game plan today and making your voice heard this November.
Yes!
Visit NFL.com/votes to learn more.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast for this morning. Showers likely, high 69. Showers likely tonight, low 44. Decreasing clouds tomorrow, high 56. Mostly clear tomorrow night, low 40. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Bob Stye.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
Just look. Market-wise, kind of flat. Dow slightly red. S&P a little bit green. Same with the NASDAQ. See, and every time I look at the VIX, they change the picture. It happens every time. Every time I look. So there you go. That's what we're walking into after the show. Good show, man. Yeah, good show. Rusty not able to make it. They had remnants of the storms and everything else and lost power. I wasn't aware of that. A lot of you hit me up and told me that. And Rusty messaged me later, said, sorry about that, Bill. but he could do tomorrow morning. Rusty is back with us tomorrow morning. Look forward to that. Rusty's always outstanding. Brad joins us, bradpowersports.com, on Fridays. Last hour for the entire hour. All your handicapping questions, pass them along. Use the hashtag AskBP. Something we talked about that is quite confusing. I will go back over it briefly. I will give you the cliff notes. Big Ten announced their tie-breaking procedure. Now, first and foremost, this is important because Nebraska-Wisconsin just canceled. They did that on Wednesday. That game does not get played. There's not another place to put it with the way they've set everything up. And the other problem is with the protocol of 21 days as the sit-out, it's also very problematic for Big Ten teams that miss a game or players that get positive tests that are proven. Like the Mertz kid, Graham Mertz, among others. And so they've set themselves up for some issues. Not that that's an original thought. But the Big Ten does have out their eligibility for the league championship rules. Because you're going to have probably some inequality in games played. What they're going to do is this. They're going to take, at the end of the regular season, the average number of games played per team. Obviously, these are all league games. They're going to come up with an average. It might be 6.5. It may be 6.1. It may be 6.9. It may be 4.2. Whatever it is. If you are in the East or the West, no, not the leaders and legends. That was an idiot idea years ago. That's gone. If you're in the East or the West of the Big Ten, you got to be within two games of the league average number of games played. So if the league average number of games played is 7, if you have below 5 games, even if you're undefeated, let's say you're 4-0, you're not eligible to represent your division in the championship game. You got to be within 2. So if it's 7, you got to at least have 5 games. Does that make sense? I tried to explain that as simply as I could. There's a lot of other tie-breaking rules in there, too. If two teams in a division have the same number of losses, but one team has more wins, let's say one team went 5-2 and another team went 4-2, you would probably assume the team, because these are all league games, with the higher winning percentage, 5-2, gets the nod. Not necessarily the case. Head-to-head is what determines the tiebreaker in that situation. So you could be 5-2, the other team be 4-2, but the 4-2 team beat you head-to-head. They go in your place by virtue of head-to-head. Head-to-head trumps winning percentage. That's just one of the rules. You can go read it. I mean, there's a trillion rules that get more complicated than that, but that is in general terms the way they decided to go about this. And you are going to have some number games inequity here. It's just going to happen. It's already happening. Wisconsin and Nebraska. You don't get that game back. That game is not considered a forfeit either. It's a no contest. Even though it's not Nebraska's fault, it's a no contest. Didn't happen. Right? It didn't happen. Now, my question earlier was, is the committee going to go with something like this just as far as determining who gets in? Talking about the playoff. The clown show committee. Are they going to say if there's more than a two-game separation in games played between, let's say, I'm just making this up, let's assume Alabama's in, a Georgia who is, well, not Georgia. Who would I throw in there? Georgia's got to play Alabama twice. Yeah, let's just say for some reason they split. I don't know that I think they split, but let's just say they do. Georgia is sitting there now at 10-1, including the SEC championship game. Alabama's going to get in if they lose that game regardless, okay? And I would think Georgia gets in. But would they come up with something to where if a Big Ten team only played 6-7 games, that's too much space. 7 games, as opposed to 11, or 8 games as opposed to 11? Would that be a hindrance? I think the SEC is in really good shape here. I think the SEC's got a good chance to get 2 teams in, as long as Georgia doesn't lose more than 2. Georgia can't afford another loss. Does Jimbo somehow get in there? Huh? Jimbo's got a ways to go, but they're going to be favored in every game, and they don't have to play Alabama again or go to the SEC championship, which protects them. At CrazyCharlie615 on Twitter. That was a good show. I don't know what we got done there, but that was a very good show. At Bill is King. Let's check on Tesla. Lajpah.